song was actually inspired by a friend of mine, a hero of mine, that he lives in Iraq with his family. I should have texted him. But Jeremy Courtney, he works with an organization called Preemptive Love, and they are a huge part of helping Syrian refugees. Sorry, Drew. And so he'll text me from time to time, just keeping me posted on how his day is going. And when he has a bad day, it's a much worse situation than a kid in Southern California like myself, like having a bad day. It's ISIS is. I got a text from him saying, "Hey man, pray for us. You know, ISIS is bombing the town next to us." And I sat there probably for like 20 minutes trying to figure out what to text back, you know. And you're like, "Hey man, no." I literally could come up with nothing. It's like I remember it really distinctly. I just started driving to the studio. I've got the ibuprofen in my hand to prove the point. I started driving to the studio and the ocean's on my left, and I remember thinking like, well, I don't have anything to say. Maybe I could send him a song. And he told me that Switchfoot songs were the songs that would kind of, his family would dance to them, like have dance parties at the end of a long day. And I thought, you know, what if we could give him a song that would make his family dance? So this is a song that came out of that. It's called Float.
Welcome to Switchfoot Song Stories, a fan-run and operated podcast, not affiliated with Switchfoot.
All right, my guest on the show this week is Michael Keith Lewis. Very excited to have you on, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
I'm sure fans of the show would be very interested to learn all the different things that you've been involved in, including all the artists you've worked with. I believe you've been a tour manager, a mixer, a lot of work on the creative side of tours. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I'm a freelance audio engineer / tour manager / production manager / babysitter. I'm like, whatever you need. My primary artist is a band called Colony House, but I've worked for a couple different other bands that are kind of in the same market space, like Gable Price and Friends. I've done some stuff for this band called Joan, Little Image. Just got off the road with Jeremy Zucker, who's like in the pop alt world. I've done some stuff for Matt Carney. But yeah, primarily as a front of house, which if you don't know what that means, I am the guy mixing the show out front. I'm the one that hopefully makes it sound good. But yeah, I've been with Colony House for almost going on 5 years now, and they were my favorite band of all time, and it was a dream to get that gig, and it's still pretty surreal to me that I get to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Colony House and Little Image both get talked about a lot on this podcast because clearly, you know, a lot of Switchfoot fans are also fans of those bands. We've also had Gable Price on the show, and you know, I don't like comparing bands because I think, you know, every band's its own thing. But if I'm ever talking to someone about like who a you know younger Switchfoot would be, or maybe like someone similar to Switchfoot, I often do talk about Colony House just because a lot of similarities there. But you said the last 5 years, so I'm assuming you were with Colony House on the Cannonballers tour recently.
Yes. Yep. I was. I was also on the run where they were with Switchfoot in 2019 as well. That was my first run, but I was guitar teching at that point. But yeah, I was on the Cannonballers run all of, I guess that was that all last year? It's hard to keep track now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that, I mean, I'm not kidding when I say this, one of the best tours I've ever seen. And it was the whole package. So to know that you were a big part of that as well. I mean, I'm telling you what, I told fans of the show, like, you've got to make it out because Colony House is becoming next level with their production, their live show. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I mean, that tour really came together, and it was a great, from a production standpoint, it was a great package. I mean, the lighting looked amazing. It was so cool to look out every night and, just kind of see people enjoying it. And yeah, it was, I mean, we just had a blast on that run. Nothing was too challenging. I think the band would say it, and I think all the crew guys would say it, that was probably one of the best. I mean, that was for me, one of the best tours I've ever been on, from just smoothness and just enjoyability factor, all together, just super enjoyable.
Yeah. I also love your Instagram account. There's a lot of fun videos on there.
Thanks.
From tour. Also some videos that show, you know, like to me, some of the more interesting things, the interesting side of concerts or production. So everyone go follow Michael Keith Lewis on Instagram. It's a great follow. I saw one of the things, I think it was the, from where I'm from, the one of those epic moments of the Colony House show. And you were showing some of the lighting or pacing of that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. That's a strange world that I kind of got into last year. I never, my friends call it the Michael's Mixfluencer era. And, it's just weird that people care about what I have to say or want to know about what I do. But what I always say is I really enjoy talking about it. So, as long as there's an audience for it, I'll just keep making content and keep doing it as much as I can.
What role would you say music has played in your life? And how do bands like, whether it's Switchfoot or Colony House or others, how have they impacted you personally and professionally?
Yeah, I mean, music is such an emotional thing for me. I mean, I grew up playing piano. I think everyone took piano lessons at one point in their life, but I took piano lessons pretty much all the way through high school. And at one point I wanted to be a choir teacher. And so I have a super intimate understanding of music, and I enjoy it. I enjoy the behind the scenes stuff as well with it. But I don't know. I think for me, music kind of motivates me. I mean, especially when I wake up in the morning, if I feel down or I feel like I'm in a bad spot mentally, I just play a song. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but it just kind of kickstarts my day. So for me, it's like the motivational aspect of it that I really enjoy. I'm definitely a music person. I'm not like a lyrics person. I just kind of feel things. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably because some of the lyric like content is just subconsciously moving me maybe. But music is important to me in that aspect. Hopefully that kind of answers your question.
Yeah. For me, I feel like I'm both, as far as that question goes, music or lyrics. You know, it's like however I feel that day, what I'm trying to lean into. And then sometimes a lyric will come out of nowhere and it'll just hit me differently. But also it's sometimes I just want to vibe to how the music feels that day. So, and we're talking about the song Float today, which is a perfect example. I mean, that's just, you know, we'll get into that in a minute, but, I was going to ask about your experiences, if any, with Switchfoot, but you said that one tour with Colony House, you're with them. But as far as any interaction with the guys, seeing them on tour, anything like that, other than that one?
Yeah, we've kind of done a few one-offs with them, if I can remember. And their production manager / front of house, Ryan Nichols, is kind of just a guy I keep up with and whatnot. But yeah, although my interactions with them were pretty few, I would say that the most positive things you can think about a person, just think that about Switchfoot. I mean, John is quite literally one of the nicest guys I've ever met. I mean, just so, so down to earth. They put off heavy surfing vibes, and that is kind of how they are in real life. I mean, they're just a bunch of surfers from the California area. So
yeah,
and just musically too, they're obviously legends. I mean, it's cool to see a lineup generally just stay the same for that long. I mean, that's rare these days that you have a band be together for as long as it is and continue putting out stuff that people want to listen to. So I really hope that they continue making records for, 20, 30 more years. Love those guys. They're awesome. And hope that we kind of get to do something like that tour in 2019 again, because those were some fun rooms.
Yes.
Super cool what they just did too with the covers album. I mean, I really, really enjoyed that, and it really seemed to do well for them. I had a lot of friends that maybe had put down some of the newer records and kind of picked it back up after listening to that. So real exciting stuff for them.
Yes, for sure. So the song Float from the Where the Light Shines Through album, when I was first, like when you first picked this one to talk about, I was like, I could see someone, you know, with your background, why you would like that song, partially because when they perform it live, it's such a fan favorite. They've got either like a disco ball or bubbles or both, you know, and they're not usually, you know, big on, you know, certain elements of production. They just let the music do the talking. But
yeah,
for this one, it's such a vibe when it's live. It's got this groovy bass line and guitar riff, and it's just a lot of fun both on the recording and live. But what led you to pick this particular song by Switchfoot?
I don't know, man. It's when this record came out, I, to be totally honest with you, I hadn't been a big Switchfoot fan until I heard this. I never really listened. I mean, I'd listened to the big stuff, obviously, you know, but when this record came out, it kind of turned me back onto them. And I don't know, just something about the bass line, when the bass line comes in, and, you know, it's so simple. It's just like vocals, bass, and it just grabbed my attention. So my personal experience with the song, one of the reasons I really kind of am familiar with it and liked it, is one summer when I was like working for the university that I went to, I was kind of learning lighting and like how to deal with, you know, do lighting at concerts and stuff like that. And one of the songs that I practiced on was Float by Switchfoot. So I just play that, and I would, in the lighting world, they call it busking, but it's where you're like making lights do cool things in real time, which is kind of a challenging thing to do. But I use this song to practice. So
nice.
It's just a cool vibe to it. And I just think the contrast between the verse and chorus is super powerful and great from a production standpoint as well. Like, I'm a little bit of a producer. Definitely I do some like studio mixing as well. And it's cool to hear just how things open up and get wider, more verbed out in the chorus. And it's just something that you know, we can copy as you know, music creators and stuff. But yeah, one of my favorite songs. I also think, like, sonically, that record sounds unbelievable. I think it's one of my favorite sounding records from a mix standpoint. I know most people, they listen to music and they're like, yeah, it sounds good or whatever. But to me, I think that record stands out. I believe the guy that mixed it, his name is Paul Hagar. And he's also a front of house as well. That's a live mixer. And he does like Miley Cyrus and Beck and a bunch of really big people, but also does studio stuff on the side. So, hero of mine, great song. Great vibes, but the whole record though too kind of stands the test of time with just how it sounds as well.
That is really cool perspective there too. And I know, like, sometimes if a band does something a little different, there's some fans like, oh, I want it to sound like they always do, and then other times it's like, you know, they are such musicians and they want to play whatever they're feeling in that moment. And
yeah,
like this, a song like this has just, even in your example, will attract some new listeners. And then, you know, it's an incredible thing. And when you've been around as long as they have, you know, it's amazing to have so many different styles within a catalog that still feels like them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they what's cool about Switchfoot is they've kind of just swam through the different genres really well. I mean, obviously it's all like alt rock, but they've gone from one end to the other of that space pretty well. And it's cool to hear what they've been doing since then.
The intro of the song sounds like it could have been on Fading West. It's got the beach vibes.
And yeah.
As we said, sets up the groovy bass line and the guitars. Are you familiar with the story of the song, what led John Foreman to write this particular song?
No, I'm not. Fill me in.
So he wrote this, he put it on their website, and then it's on, you know, some of the websites that have their lyrics, they'll put this story on it as well. But it's a really cool story. He said that Float is a song that was inspired by a conversation with a friend named Jeremy. Jeremy was helping kids and families who were victims of ISIS and other violent attacks in Iraq. And he connects those refugees with doctors and helps them get back on their feet through an organization called Preemptive Love. And he said that, my friend Jeremy lives in Iraq with his family so he can better serve the community. And there was a hard day at work. He said that, you know, after a hard day at work, he'd put his headphones in and listen to songs that bring him hope, songs that remind him to stay strong and not give up. And he said, you know, hey, you know, John, your songs have been important and brought encouragement to me. So John says he was driving next to the Pacific heading to the studio. And the night before, there was one of those attacks from ISIS. And he's like, I want to send Jeremy some encouragement. And I couldn't find the words. And so for me, when words fail, music speaks. So I began to sing. And I wanted to write a song specifically for Jeremy, something for his headphones at the end of a hard day, something that would lift his whole family up, and just a small thing to contribute. So he was. He also said, I began to picture Jeremy's family halfway around the world, smiling and dancing even. So he just wanted to write a song that was like, that would make him dance and find joy and hope. And that's just pretty amazing. He said that, you know, Float became this song of encouragement to reach higher above the patterns of this world. And I want to dedicate the song, not just to Jeremy, but to all the freedom fighters out there, to the doctors, dreamers, champions of community, the hopeful, the discouraged, a song that reminds you to stay on course. Don't slow down, stay unique, don't give up, resist the urge to become cynical and apathetic. Keep on loving, keep on hoping, and stay faithful to the purpose of which you were created.
Wow. That's a lot. I had no idea that it was the origin of it. And to be honest with you, I never really looked at the lyrics on a piece of paper, but I have them pulled up right now, and it makes total sense, and I totally get it. I mean, that's awesome to hear the context of it.
It's amazing too that, you know, getting to do this podcast, when you really dive into each song that we've been doing, there's almost a story, you know, similar to that in almost every one, which is phenomenal. And the guys, though, they're completely cool with anyone hearing a song and making it their own, or not even thinking too much, or thinking very deeply about it. Like, it's completely up to the listeners, they say. But you know, when you hear stories like that, it's like, it just brings it to life even more. You know, the next time you're tapping your foot to Float, or you're at a show and the bubbles are going everywhere, it's like, yeah, this was specifically to make a family who's doing incredible work smile and feel hope. And that's just awesome.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. I'll have to, where did you find this story? Is it on like the Switchfoot website or John Foreman's website or something like that?
It's on Switchfoot's. If you go to, I would say, type in Switchfoot Float story or song story or something like that, it'll come up on their website. Or if you go to their lyrics of this album on JesusFreakHideout.com, you'll see the story on there as well.
Wow, yeah, I'd love to get some context for some of the other songs on the record too. Again, I'm not a lyrics guy, so sometimes I miss some of these things, but it's cool to like bring it all home, you know.
For sure. Speaking of lyrics, a couple of my favorite from the song, away from the crowd is where you realize the herd's insecure of the free mind. So don't let them tell you what to feel like. You can't bring me down, can't bring me down. And then another one is, don't you need someone to lean on? Don't you need that taste of freedom? It don't take no education. All you need is an invitation. Good stuff. I think, one of the messages of that song too is just like I'm not going to let anybody, you know, get me down. I'm going to live my life, chase my dreams. I'm going to, like it says, I'm going to float, and feet ain't even touching the ground. I mean, I just love the concept of all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just going to do my thing and just kind of move on and try to live life even under the circumstances.
What are your thoughts on the music video scene these days? I know it's changed, you know, for a while there, it's like every single has to have one. And that's what like drives people to the songs because of how big like TRL and like all that stuff back in the day was, but then YouTube came along. I told, you know, we just had Eric Frost on the show, and I told him that, you know, his music videos for Interrobang to me really brought those songs to life. And when you think of the song Float, it was shot in Manila, and they had like just this landscape and these kids in it and all this stuff. And to me, it made the song come to life too. But what are your thoughts on music videos and their role today?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't live in the era of like when music videos were king and in the like MTV era. So it's hard to relate to that feeling, but maybe YouTube is like is like my generation's MTV. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like I enjoy going and looking at the music video after I've heard the song. So I think, it's less the opposite for me, but it is really cool, again, as a music guy and someone that's not listening to the lyrics, to visualize like the song in a story format and then realize like, oh, that's what they're talking about. This is like, you know, I'm just thinking about like You and I, for instance, by Colony House, different band, different song. But, you know, I'd never really listened to the lyrics. I'd only kind of listened to the music. And I watched the video about it. Will, you know, it's just Will and Caleb just beating up each other. And it kind of brings, you're like, oh, okay, so that's like what they were talking about, or this is what they're singing about, you know? So yeah, I think it's definitely cool. I don't think it's as in the market, it's not as necessary now, but I love when people put the effort in to kind of tell more of a story, especially as a movie guy. Like I'm not the greatest at telling you, you know, like, hey, this record came out this year, but when it comes to movies, like I love talking about those things. So the music video scene is like that's something that kind of relates to that, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I have
with
to
you.
Watch the Float video now.
Yeah. Yeah, I went back because, you know, for thinking of the song the last couple of days, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that was a pretty epic video that they did in Manila.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I agree with you. It's not as necessary to today's world, but I feel like when a band really feels like we have a good spot or a good concept or even a simple, maybe a simpler like lyric video that can go out, it can really draw people in as they're, you know, surfing. Yeah. Surfing the web, as they say, and they find different videos and it can draw you in.
Did you say Eric Frost shot that too?
I'm actually not sure if he shot Float. He did all the Interrobang, their last album.
Okay.
So I don't think he did Float, but I'm not positive.
2016 was before his time with him, I think. But
yeah. Oh. So what's next for you? What are you working on currently? What's coming up for you?
I have no idea, man. I'm trying to figure it out. let me put it this way. I'm lucky that my wife works too, because I'd be a little worried. No, I'm just kidding. I have some just one-offs, like where, you know, you fly out and do a show and then come back. Got some of that this year. Going to Asia with Jeremy, which is cool. Colony House is between records right now, so there's not a ton on the calendar, that at least as at the moment. So I'm kind of trying to do the studio mixing thing, and just, you know, just mix records. It's a very competitive market, and there's like, if you go and look at the biggest, best songs out there, there's like three guys mixing them. So obviously it's tough to kind of break into, but trying to do that, trying to be at home more. Last year I made a lot of money, but I was never home. I mean, I was home like maybe 80% of the year. And I got married in 2022. So it was like, I got married, went out. So yeah, I'm just trying to be home more this year and just be a husband and be more social and hang out with friends. Also playing a lot of Fortnite, so much Fortnite.
Yeah.
Squatting up every night, man.
Well, last question, any advice for people out there as far as, you know, I guess kind of what we talked about, the overall theme of Float, to just kind of like, you know, not letting anybody take you down. I feel like a lot of the things you've been able to do the last several years has fit into that. Like, nothing's going to bring me down. I'm just going to get out there and do what I love, chase my dreams. But any advice for people out there?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going through it and you are, don't get in your own head about stuff. I mean, it's so easy to just kind of like let your mind spiral. And, if you're going through it mentally and, you know, you're depressed or whatever, you should tell people and talk to people about that and share the burden. Like, your friends want to know. I know that's kind of deep, but, and that's probably a little more dark, but like, just be outward with your emotions. And just cause you're, you know, a dude or whatever, doesn't mean you don't have to tell people that you're upset or sad. So yeah, just talk to people and tell people how you're feeling. That's it.
Good stuff. Great advice. I appreciate your time and thanks for joining us, and also for all you do. Keep inspiring and keep up the great work. We look forward to what's next.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. Thanks for having me, and really, really appreciate you reaching out, and look forward to listening to some of the other episodes. Turn it up.
up so I can feel it. Turn it up so I can get near it. Baby says she's got that feeling. Moonwalking on the ceiling. It's alright. It's alright. It's alright. It's alright. Alright. Turn it up so I can feel it. Loud enough so I can get near it. Baby's in that slow motion. She got me moonwalking on the ocean. It's how we flow. Yeah. Flying at the speed of sound. It's how we flow. Coming down. Don't you need someone to lean on? Don't you need that taste of freedom? It don't take no education. All you need is that invitation. It's alright. Yeah, it's alright. Alright, it's how we flow.
We might be coming down.